Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey everyone, if we haven't met, my name is Daniel Indrajaya. I want to personally thank you for tuning in today, especially if you're not a Christ follower. Thanks for joining us. I believe you're not here today by coincidence, so lean in. You would have a lot of things to think about by the end of our time here today. You know, in all of my life, I have never seen anything quite like what we are currently seeing right now in the world. Lives have been lost, family being separated, people lost their jobs. If you or your family members have been affected by this, I am grieving with you. I want to tell you that I'm praying for you, that God will comfort you. Those of you who are struggling right now because of the coronavirus and its effect on your day-to-day lives, I know with God's help, we can get through this together. Today, I want to share with you my answer to this very important question. Is the coronavirus from God? Now, you may agree or disagree with me on this. That's all right. I respect that. Whatever the case may be, I want to encourage you to find out the truth for yourself, because the truth will set you free. Now, some pastors and Christian speakers apparently believe that the coronavirus is God's judgment or God's punishment on our world. One author believes that these are the signs of God unleashing His vengeance upon mankind. He even compared the coronavirus with the biblical plagues of Egypt during the time of Moses. Unfortunately, he's not the only one who thinks this way. A pastor from Florida said that the virus is a plague sent by God. He said, "My spirit bears witness that this is a genuine plague that is coming upon the earth, and God is about to purge a lot of sin off this planet." So to these people, apparently God is ticked off. To them, God is always ticked off. God is ticked off at America during the 9/11 attack. God is ticked off at Asia and sent the tsunami in 2004. And now God is ticked off at the world and sent the coronavirus. So God must be ticked off. Then the next question is, why is He ticked off? See, they don't have a definite answer, so they guess. Some said that the coronavirus is a punishment from God due to the widespread of immorality of the people. You know, the usual suspects, the abortionists, the homosexuals, the LGBTQ community, the liberals, the churches who sold out, etc., etc. Some other said that God sent the coronavirus down to earth as a punishment for the persecution of Christians. Now, before we look at what the Word of God had to say about this, I want to invite us to think for a moment, especially if you are a Christian and you believe that the coronavirus is from God. Say it is true, okay? Say you're right, that the coronavirus is indeed a judgment from God for the world. That means, follow me on this, Christians all over the world should do all we can to help spread this virus even more, right? I mean, if the coronavirus is from God, intended to accomplish His purpose in this world, shouldn't we as Christians help spread it even more then? Think about it. Another problem with this line of thinking is this. If the coronavirus is God's judgment for the world, who's the intended target? Is it the doctors and nurses? Are they the intended target? These people would say, no, of course not. Then why some of those who died from the coronavirus are healthcare workers? Like Dr. Natalie, a 57-year-old doctor from Italy, who warned of the shortage of the protective equipments the medical personnel were using, like gloves. He literally gave his life for his patients. Who's the virus for? Is it for the Christians? Again, they would say no. Then why some who died are followers of Jesus Christ? Like TJ Mendez, a 44-year-old, perfectly healthy man with no pre-existing condition, a father of six who was also a Sunday school teacher for his church in Texas. He died 2 days after tested positive for COVID-19 virus. You know, God has given us a sound mind to think. So before you say anything about anything, you have to think about what you're saying. Don't be too quick to draw a conclusion without looking at all the facts and evidence and implications. COVID-19 or the coronavirus is a global pandemic, but it's not the first time something like this has happened. Throughout history, disease outbreaks have devastated humanity. Like in 1918, the influenza pandemic killed about 50 million people worldwide. Before that, we had the Black Death in 1346, wiping out half of Europe's population. And the list goes on and on. And every single time a global catastrophe happens, the Christian fundamentalists are quick to say, this must be a judgment from God. This must be the end times. You know, honestly, I don't know when the end times will come. No one does. But I do know this. The coronavirus is not a judgment from God. Can God use a pandemic like this to bring people closer to Him? Absolutely. Is it a judgment from Him? Absolutely not. How do I know this? How do I know that the coronavirus is not a judgment from God? Well, the short answer is, it's because of Jesus. Please listen as I try to explain this to us. I know during a time of suffering, the common question is, why God? I may not understand all of it, but I totally get it. You're asking, why do I have this cancer, for instance? Why do I have this tumor, this illness, this virus? Jesus himself is asked this very question when he meets a man who is blind. And the story is recounted in the Gospel of John chapter 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? See, the disciples assume that every suffering is the result of sin. Why was this man born blind? There are only two options, his own sins or his parents' sins. Because every suffering, they assume, is the result of sin. You can paraphrase the disciples' question with our question today. Jesus, why do we have the coronavirus? Is it because of the sins of the immoral people? Or is it the sins of those who persecute the Christians? You know how Jesus answered the disciples' question? He said, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered in this blind man's case, Jesus said, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. You see, in this one example, Jesus totally rejected the idea of this monstrous, angry, bloodthirsty God who's out to get us and punish us. Now, here's the thing. In asking any question about God, the most important question that you need to ask is this. Where do you get your picture of God from? What is your authority? Do you get your picture of God from your own theory or your own imagination? Do you get your picture of God from the Old Testament only? You know, I find it funny and sad, actually, that many Christians love to quote from the Old Testament about what God is like, how He deals with human, especially the bad part, while totally ignoring the God that Jesus revealed in the New Testament. Where do you get your picture of God from? You know, it all comes down to this. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have to. You just have to get your picture of God from Jesus, because He is the Word of God. The Apostle John, inspired by the Spirit of God, wrote, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. He was full of what? Judgment and vengeance? No, He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. You see, Jesus is the image of God. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Jesus is the one who says, if you see me, you see the Father. Why are you looking anyplace else for the Father? Jesus is the one who says, nobody knows the Father except the Son and to whoever the Son reveal Him. Nobody. Which means you don't need to go anywhere to know what God is like other than Jesus. Now hear this. God looks like Jesus. If your picture of God doesn't look like Jesus, then He's not the real God. This is good theology because it's true and it's consistent with the New Testament teaching. Think about it. If it's true that Jesus and the Father are one, if you believe that if you know Jesus, you know the Father, then God the Father must look like Jesus. So if your picture of God doesn't look like Jesus, then He's not the real God. Ask yourself this question. When you read the gospel, do you see Jesus afflicting people with illness? Do you see Jesus inflicting pain on anybody? Sending tsunamis or earthquake to kill people? Was He ever involved in any of that? No. I challenge you to read the Gospels, and you will find if Jesus is the true representation of God, and He is, then He reveals a God who is not the author of any of that nonsense. In fact, the God that Jesus reveals is a God that is doing the exact opposite. The God that Jesus reveals is a God that heals diseases. He doesn't cause them. The God that Jesus reveals is a God who comes to liberate us, not putting us into captivity. He's the God that gives lives, not the God that kills and takes life. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, Jesus reveals a God who wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. It is the devil who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, not God. Jesus comes and reveals a God who restores, a God who sets the captives free, heals the sick, opens the eyes of the blind, makes the lame walk and the blind see, a God who comes to free us from the clutch of the enemy. That's the God that Jesus reveals. And if that's the kind of God that Jesus reveals, then any argument that caused you to have a different conclusion about God, that He's an angry, vengeful God who sent out virus to kill people, must be wrong. Are you hearing me? The Apostle Paul, a staunch Jew who used to hate the Christians until he met with the resurrected Jesus, had this to say about God when he wrote to his young protege, Timothy. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." You know what that means? That means God doesn't want to end people's lives. He wants everyone to be saved, not die. Again, in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting any one of you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. Again, God doesn't wish anyone to die. He wants everyone to come to Him in repentance, which, by the way, is metanoia in the Greek, meaning changing one's mind, not turning from sin. I know what some of you might be thinking right now. Maybe you're thinking this. Maybe the coronavirus is God's way for everyone to come to repentance. Good thinking. But the answer is no. Let me ask you, what would bring you to repentance? Would threat bring you to repentance? Would punishment bring you to repentance? Even if it were true, how would you view God if the only reason you come to Him is because you are threatened by Him or fearful of Him? Is that how you want your child to relate to you? Out of fear? No. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 2. "Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" What did Paul say God uses to lead people to repentance? Threat of judgment? Punishment? No, His kindness is meant to lead people to repentance. You know, as people of faith, we believe that the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago ushered in a new era, a new way of God dealing with humanity, if you like. We live in a New Testament era, or a new covenant era, known as the covenant of grace. Soon we will remember the death of Jesus on Good Friday. You know, on that Friday night before He was betrayed, He had His last meal with His closest friends and He held a cup of wine and He said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Did you hear that? Jesus' sacrifice ushered in a new era, a new covenant. A covenant of grace where the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross because of our sin becomes the foundation of our relationship with God. In the old covenant, people had to sacrifice animal offering like a lamb of some sort every time they sin. The idea is that animal took the place of human because of their sin. In the new covenant, Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who took our place because of our sin. In the old covenant, people say, "Oh, I will do this, I will do that," and break their word again and again. In the new covenant, God, through Jesus, says, I will forgive you, I will love you, I will keep you, I will prepare a place for you, and He keeps His word forever and ever. Listen to this word from Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I hope you caught that. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. You can rest assured that the coronavirus is not a condemnation or a judgment from God. Can He use it to bring something good? Absolutely. God can make beauty out of the ashes. He can turn mourning into dancing. He can bring light out of the darkness. So, say you agree with me that the coronavirus is not from God, because God loves the world and He doesn't condemn the world. The question is, why does God allow coronavirus and other bad things to happen then? Is He not powerful enough to stop them? The answer is, of course, God is powerful enough to stop them. So why doesn't He? You know, Jesus was also asked this why question by two of His friends, two sisters, Mary and Martha, when their brother Lazarus died. Each of them said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, why do you let my brother die? Why do you let bad things happen? You know what Jesus' answer was? He didn't give an answer. Instead, John recorded Jesus' response in the shortest verse in the whole Bible. My favorite memory verse growing up, because it's only two words. Jesus wept. I don't know if you know this, but this world is broken. In a broken world, there are diseases, virus, natural disasters, human acting unjustly. We are sinful. We are in mortal bodies. In this broken world, death is inevitable. But Christ has conquered death. So instead of giving Mary and Martha an explanation, Jesus gave them hope. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Tim Challis said that God is not a death dealer. He is a life giver. We may not have the answer to everything, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we have faith that God is still in control, that He's weeping with us. He knows what you are going through. You know, this world is not all there is to it. There's so much more to this world than just our money, than our health even. So, what do we make of our topic today? What's the takeaway point? Well, if you're a Christ follower, continue to trust Him during this time. Draw close to Him, maybe closer than ever before. Find your comfort in Him. Know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose. You see, you have been called according to His purpose. In His public ministry, Jesus continually sought out those who were sick. Most of His miracles were healing people's illness and disabilities. Jesus showed us a model of what it means to care for the sick, to love those who are forgotten and forsaken. So, during this difficult season, ask yourself, what can I do to be the hands and feet of Jesus this week? If you're not a Christ follower and you're listening to this, I want to let you know that God is not mad at you. God loves you so much that He gave His own Son, Jesus, to die for you. He defeated death and its power so you could have eternal life with God. All you need to do is trust Him, believe in Him. Let us know if you want to decide to follow Christ or you have any question. We would love to have a chat with you about that. Comment below or email us from the link below. Finally, before we close, I want us to sing, or if you're not comfortable, just listen to this amazing song called The Goodness of God. I just love the lyrics of this song. I've been playing this all week. It says, I love you, Lord, or your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And the chorus goes, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And also love verse 2. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Let us worship God through this song, and I'll come back and pray for us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.